Welcome to Health Yeah, where experts from Stony Brook Medicine come together to discuss topics ranging from the complex inner workings of an infectious disease to tips and tricks for staying safe and healthy all year long.
Hello, and welcome to Health Yeah! Today, we're going to be discussing lung cancer. My name is Ankit Damija. I am the Director of Lung Cancer and Chest Disease Center and a cardiothoracic surgeon. Let's take a moment to introduce our fellow panelists. This is Dr. Denise Albano.
Hi, I'm the Associate Director, and I'm a nurse practitioner. Great to be here.
And Dr. Amna Sher.
I am Amna Sher. I'm a thoracic medical oncologist. Glad to be here with the wonderful team.
Wonderful. Thank you both for being here. Stony Brook Cancer treats around 1,000 patients for lung cancer each year. We have a comprehensive multidisciplinary team that takes the patients through the entire continuum of care, from prevention, screening, diagnostics, treatment, and follow-up care. So let's dive into today's conversation with our first question, which is for Dr. Albano. Dr. Albano, how can we help people stop smoking, and which is the cause most attributed to the 80 to 90% of cases of lung cancer?
So we here at Stony Brook have our own smoking clinic, smoking cessation clinic, and we do a personalized appointment for them. We talk about their triggers. We talk about nicotine replacement. We talk about medications like Wellbutrin and Chantix. We have support groups. We also utilize our social work team for additional support. And then we also can send them out to the community, and they have a six-week program there that they can do weekly also. So we have a very comprehensive program here.
Great.
That's great.
And Dr. Sher, what are the signs and symptoms that one may have if they had lung cancer?
Right. I mean, I think some of the most common symptoms of lung cancer, which patients complain of, is often cough. Sometimes it's a chronic cough, which has been going on for a few weeks or months. Despite adequate treatment, people often start to have hemoptysis, which is they start having coughing up of blood. They can have some shortness of breath as well. And sometimes, you know, they just have like general symptoms, feeling unwell, weight loss. And if the cancer has spread already, they would start to have symptoms related to areas which is affected. For example, people can present with, you know, back pain, headaches, neurological symptoms. And unfortunately, they're found to have either advanced disease with brain metastases or involvement of the bones.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that there is lung cancer in the early stages and they actually don't have much symptoms at all, which then brings us to our next topic of discussion. You know, Dr. Albano, how is it that we find lung cancer? We usually have screening, and we also then subsequently have incidental findings generally nowadays.
Exactly. So everyone, you know, I always say like we're so fortunate to have lung cancer screening, because prior to 2015, before the national lung cancer trial, we used to do chest x-rays. So we did chest x-rays, and we thought that with the chest x-ray, we would be able to find things. But unfortunately, in 2015, they changed the criteria, and we now do a CAT scan, a low-dose CAT scan, minimal radiation for our patients. And these are patients between the ages of 50 and 80 that smoked for about 20 years and quit less than 15 years ago. So if they meet this criteria, and if you meet this criteria, make sure you get screened. But if they meet this criteria, then we should do a lung cancer screening. And the great thing about lung cancer screening, unlike Dr. Sher's patients, who she gets to see more advanced, I get to see the patients that usually are cured. So we find small little nodules, tiny little nodules that we can fix, cure, and they can go about their life. And they never have any symptoms.
Which then segues to the other modality in which we actually find lung cancer, as well as an incidental finding in patients that subsequently go to the emergency room and have CAT scans just because they were having chest pain, for example, and or, you know, urgent care centers where they may be able to find slightly larger imaging on x-rays and so forth. Additionally, on CT scans that are done for coronaries, we can also find lung cancer nodules from there as well. Yeah. And we find them, as you had mentioned, at different sizes and at different points. Denise, what are the different kinds of modalities that we can use to treat then lung cancer?
Sure.
Diagnose lung cancer.
Yeah, I like to say that it's not just smokers that get lung cancer. because our screening population is only going to get our smokers.
Yeah.
So these incidental lung nodules that we find are so important because people that don't smoke assume they'll never get lung cancer. And unfortunately, as you guys know, we have lots of patients with that have never smoked. So we have a lung nodule clinic here at Stony Brook. So any nodule, even if it's 2 millimeters in size, we're going to see, we're going to follow, we're going to talk about risk factors, we're going to talk about their family history, we're going to talk about their exposures mostly, what puts them at risk, asbestos and World Trade Center and radon and family history and all those things, and kind of add it all up and come up with, you know, when should we see you again? I mean, we certainly go by national guidelines like Fleischner Society guidelines, but then we also put our own kind of, you know, what we think is going to happen and follow them, you know, every 3 months, 6 months, a year. If it grows above 8 millimeters in size, we usually worry a little bit. We get a PET scan. We send to, of course, you guys, a thoracic surgery. And we look at everything under, you know, with our tumor board to see, you know, with our multidisciplinary team to see what we should do next. If they need a biopsy, if they need surgery, if they need radiation, if they need medical oncology, if they need, you know, us to check their lymph nodes and things like that.
Yeah, usually when Dr. Albano and her team ends up finding a nodule that then meets those criteria and becomes a little suspicious, we tend to follow them up from an interventional pulmonology standpoint or thoracic surgery and either diagnose the patient with a IR-guided biopsy or robotic bronchoscopy. And if there's an indication to then subsequently stage the patient, meaning figure out at what point of the lung cancer modality that there is, we sometimes consider doing certain procedures to sample lymph nodes. That's, you know, when it comes down to treatment of these, then it comes down to a decision that happens at a multidisciplinary board, as you had mentioned, Denise. Let's say what do we have here at Stony Brook in terms of a support group for patients that have lung cancer?
So we have a support group that we run here, either myself or Dr. Plank, and we are here every third Wednesday of every month. We're over at the Cancer Center. We hear from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter the stage. Please come. We would love to have you.
Dr. Scher, tell us about what happens to a patient once they have a suspicious nodule, for example.
So, I mean, as Denise mentioned, you know, we often, if we have the guidelines, the Fleischner guidelines we follow, but if we have where, you know, it's a complex patient, we have the multidisciplinary tumor board where we have all the specialties under one roof. We review that patient and then come up with a consensus decision, what would be the best next step in the management of that patient. And I think that is the key, because we all know that patients who are treated under a multidisciplinary platform have better outcomes. And I think that's the beauty of our team here and Lung Cancer Center here at Stony Brook.
Thank you. Thank you for your time
this
morning. We are going to shift over to Dr. Money. Thank you. For our listeners and viewers, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back in a few moments with Dr. Money. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Money is now joining with us. Dr. Money, can you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Very nice to be here. My name is Karthik Money. I'm the clinical director in the Department of Radiation Oncology. So I treat many forms of cancer with radiation, very excited to be here today to talk about our options for lung cancer. And also to be in the same room with you guys, because we have a lot of our meetings virtually. So this is a nice little treat that we have. So kudos for that. Very excited to continue this conversation.
Great. So just a segue from earlier, you know, we diagnose and treat lung cancer, and that's what we're focusing on. So what is it that that defines an early stage lung cancer versus a late stage lung cancer? Dr. Money, if you want to spend a few moments talking about early stage lung cancer.
Yeah, this is a great question, because it really gets to the point that not all cancers are created equal. So when you have early stage disease, that means that you have disease that's identified in the lungs itself, maybe in one spot. And that spot can be very small, like just a few millimeters to a few centimeters. When we get into sort of intermediate stage disease, which is more like stage two, that's where the tumor's grown a little bigger, or it's involved some of the lymph nodes. And those are kind of drainage pathways in the chest. So we have the lungs, and they kind of connect in to the chest. The first area is called the hilum, and then the mediastinum, and that's where the heart is and a lot of really essential organs. So there are lymph nodes there that sort of the cancer can find ways to get in there. So when we talk about later stage disease, we think about disease that's not only in the lungs, but now it's gone into the mediastinum or even into the lower necks. And then, of course, later stage disease, it means it's gone outside the chest. So it can go to the adrenal glands, liver, sometimes brain, sometimes bone. And so there's this whole spectrum of disease, and each of these is kind of a unique problem. It's always kind of interesting to see each case as its own particular thing. So we have our own strategy for that particular segment. But the first step is really identifying the stage once we have a diagnosis.
Which then brings the importance of us talking in our tumor board about each of these patients. And as you mentioned, there is no patient that is exactly the same as the last patient. Dr. Sher, tell me a little bit about advanced stage diseases. Where is it that lung cancer goes to if it was to go beyond the lymph nodes?
Sure. So, you know, we all know that, some of the most common sites where lung cancer spreads is the liver, the adrenal glands, the bones, and the brain. So, you know, at least 30 to 40% of the patients with lung cancer, you know, have brain metastases at diagnosis. And about 10% of those are asymptomatic, meaning by, you know, they have no symptoms. And same thing what we talked earlier, they come to the emergency room for some different complaint, found to have a lung mass. And as part of the staging workup, when we do the brain imaging, they're found to have brain metastases. So those are the common sites. And, you know, people can then have symptoms related to that site involvement. They could have bone pain, seizures, you know, headaches. Those are all, you know, some of the symptoms related to where the cancer may have spread.
Great. And so when it comes down to then focusing on, you know, general categories, so it's easier to explain to our viewers today what it is and how we treat them, let's focus on perhaps the early stage lung cancers first. Those are the lung cancers that have the best survival, and we try to spend a lot of time in figuring out the best modality for each patient. And sometimes that involves radiation, which Dr. Amani will talk about, and sometimes that involves a surgical evaluation. With a surgical evaluation, what happens is if it's an early stage, it is amenable to a robotic surgery. And what it is basically a few small incisions in which we actually dock a robot in which I or one of my partners ends up controlling and utilizing the robot with 10 times magnification and the wrist articulation that exists with it. We're able to identify, remove, and the lymph nodes as well as the lung cancer in and of itself. The official pathology often doesn't come back for a few weeks, but when it does come back, we can have a sit-down conversation with the family and the patient and discuss what their treatment algorithms are based upon the pathologic results that result. So that's something that one of the things that we can offer from a stage one or stage early stage two lung cancer. But Dr. Mani, do you want to talk about another alternative option for patients with that disease process?
Would love to. So glad you asked that question. But it's always fantastic to hear about your end of the world and all the innovations you guys have made, taking surgery from a very kind of morbid process to these minimally invasive techniques with the robot and these small incisions and the quick recovery time. So again, kudos to you and your team for all of those marvelous options. So in a parallel world, I imagine my scalpel is being x-rays. So I can use radiation with x-rays just like you get with a CAT scan or a chest x-ray. And if we just turn up the energy and we kind of point them precisely at where we want, you can actually treat cancer very effectively. So it's a little bit of a paradox. You know, we think of radiation as causing cancer, but it's actually a really useful tool for treating cancer. So there's been a lot of innovations in this field. Like radiation started for the lung 50 years ago, 60 years ago. We didn't have very good idea of where the radiation was going or even where the cancer was. We sort of had an x-ray and we could draw a box and we could point radiation at that box. But you can imagine there's a lot of normal tissue that gets treatment during that process. So where we evolved in two ways was our machines got better. So we could kind of shape the radiation to a certain way. But also the software that supports that machines got better and the understanding of how radiation is deposited. So now we have techniques called intensity modulated radiation therapy. And kind of the best example of that, even going even further, is called stereotactic body radiation therapy. Some of our viewers may have colloquially heard ads on the radio for CyberKnife. These are all versions of this technology. And what that is if we can really amp up the precision of the radiation, then we can deliver these huge doses in just a week of treatment. So that's 3 to 5 sessions, outpatient, no anesthesia, no cutting. And the patient comes in. They often walk out feeling exactly like they did when they walked in. And it's because of these precise ways we can image the patients and know where the cancer is. So SBRT has really kind of found a home in treating early stage lung cancer. Originally, we started out with the patients that you couldn't take to the operating room. You know, they were the patients that were very sick, poor lungs, poor hearts. You know, you wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole, but we could get them in. And they actually did surprisingly well. You know, we weren't expecting long survival from these patients, but, you know, lo and behold, they did very well. And so we moved it into now testing it, SBRT with patients that could go to the operating room, and have found very good results there. So now our early stage patients have two good options that they can discuss. And, you know, for our viewers out there, I just want to say that, you know, this is one of the magic points of Stony Brook, is that when you come to see us, you don't get one opinion. You know, you don't go to the surgeon and say how great surgery is, and you don't go to the radiation oncologist and say how great radiation is, and okay, you make a decision now. So we actually try to talk amongst ourselves and come up with a consensus. I think that's sort of the finest point of what we do, is really that it's a team process. So very happy to share those details of radiation. And again, very happy to collaborate with you guys on these patients.
Completely agree. Cool. I love having those conversations with you in regards to what the best modality is for a patient when they come to see us. So let's switch gears maybe to advanced stage lung disease. Dr. Sher, can you talk to me a little bit about what a patient's options are based upon perhaps the general category of the staging that they have?
Sure. So, you know, what Dr. Manny explained earlier, I mean, I think in simple, we can kind of say stage one, tumor is small, there's no lymph node involvement. Stage two is when the tumor starts to get bigger, generally more than 4 centimeter, and when there is higher lymph node involvement, meaning by the lymph nodes, which are, you know, the first to drain the tumor. And stage three is, you know, we have a larger tumor, more than 5 centimeter, it, you know, starts to invade other major vessels, and then there are lymph nodes which are, you know, farther away, either in the mediastinum. And stage four is, unfortunately, when the cancer has spread outside of the lung, you know, either to the bones, liver, adrenal glands, or the brain. So that is what is advanced stage lung cancer.
And what are the treatment options for those patients?
For advanced stage. So, you know, when we talk about lung cancer, you know, there are two main types of lung cancer: non-small cell lung cancer, which is, you know, 85% of all the cases of lung cancer, and about 15% is small cell lung cancer. So I would focus more so on the non-small cell because, you know, it's the most common type we see. So generally, you know, decades ago where everyone would get chemotherapy, I think that has changed. You know, one size fits all is not the solution anymore for patients with stage four lung cancer. We basically, you know, treatment is based on the patient's histological tumor subtype, the mutational analysis, what we do once we have the biopsy specimen based on the PD-L1. So, you know, technology has evolved so much over the last few decades that we are able to, you know, gear treatment towards an individual patient. So one patient with stage four non-small cell lung cancer is not going to be the same as, you know, a second one with exactly the same stage and involvement. So it's going to be very different. So in general, you know, there is going to be a combination of either chemotherapy or immunotherapy. And nowadays, we know that targeted therapy has evolved rapidly. When we see a patient with stage four lung cancer, we generally recommend doing a full genomic analysis of the tumor, which include multiple mutation analysis, the PD-L1, and then the treatment is based on that. So in general, I mean, if I see a patient, you know, I give them a little brief overview when we don't have any of those results, that once we get those results, you know, our options could be either a targeted pill if the patient has any of those mutations. And if the mutations are negative, you know, we may be able to treat them either with immunotherapy alone or a combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy. So I think the treatment has evolved over the last few decades. And, you know, we have now chemotherapy-free options for patients where, you know, there are some patients who are hesitant to get chemotherapy or they may not be strong enough to get chemo. And, you know, we are able to gear treatment towards their wishes. And also, you know, we know that immunotherapy works well for, you know, certain subtypes of lung cancer.
Great. And, you know, Dr. Money is here as well, and you can use certain modalities for advanced stage lung cancer as well to help with pain and perhaps even local regional control. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So I talked first about the early stage options, and we can use surgery or SBRT for those. But for our late stage patients, and generally those who are considered unresectable, so if the cancer's in the nodes and it's just involving too many structures that you might have trouble with, then they come to us, and with Dr. Scher's team and collaborating with them, we can give radiation to all the disease that we can see, and usually that's on PET scan or by bronchoscopy to sample the areas that are involved, and that's concurrent with chemotherapy. And then we follow that with a year of immunotherapy. And these medications are just like marvelous innovations, I just have to say. So before I gave you kudos, but now I'm going to give her kudos, because it's really kind of changed the paradigm in terms of survival outcomes in lung cancer. The immunotherapy in both stage three and later stage disease is just remarkable. So we have that kind of paradigm. So if they can't ultimately get surgery for later stage disease, they can come to us and get chemotherapy and radiation together. That's a 6-week course. So that's not the fancy 1 week, you're in, you're out. It's a little longer, a little more conventional. And then we have our metastatic patients. So I'm going to dork out here a little bit. Metastatic actually means a slightly different thing. So we can be, a patient can be oligometastatic or polymetastatic. So oligo means that they have spots that are involved outside the lung, but it's only a few of them. Some, in some definitions, 3, some definitions, 5. So in those kind of patients, we actually have found out that we can be more aggressive with them. So they get the great medications that Dr. Scher's team can offer, but then we can come in and offer what's called consolidative radiation. So there's 5 spots initially, 3 of them respond, and there's 2 left. Now, initially, they would say, okay, those 2 aren't responding, so we have to switch drugs to something else. Usually, that would be drugs that the patients couldn't tolerate very well. But now, I can come in, target those 2 spots, again, using a very quick course of radiation. Now, they can continue on immunotherapy or their regimen as before, and everything's better. Their survival is better. Their quality of life is better. So that's in the oligometastatic spectrum. So that's a very special case for us. And I do want to kind of highlight patients with you know, disease that looks well controlled in the chest, but may have disease in the brain. We can also use a form of SBRT that's called stereotactic radiosurgery, SRS, in the brain. It's literally as it sounds like. It's like having surgery without the surgery. So we can treat many spots in the brain and spare the patients a lot of the older side effects that came with brain radiation. So kind of a shameless plug for that kind of option there. Last thing I want to mention, you mentioned palliation, which is super important. So our patients who are just, you know, they've crossed the line and now they're polymetastatic. I'm sorry, I'm using the big words, but they're polymetastatic. They have too many spots that we can't, you know, just go after one by one. So they may have, you know, a bone met that's really painful or causing back pain or something that's really debilitating. We can go in and offer just 1 or 2 weeks of radiation with very, very significant pain relief. So now we haven't cured their disease, but we've really improved their quality of life. So the thing I love about my job here is, aside from working with you guys, and I'm going to keep plugging that, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just that from early stage, we talked about curative options all the way to late stage. And we're talking about comfort care and things like that. You know, my modalities of treatment have a place in all that entire spectrum. So, you know, I couldn't be happier working with this team, but that's kind of an overview of our late stage options. And yeah,
agreed. That's, and go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to add one thing. I mean, I think immunotherapy really has revolutionized how we treat lung cancer. And as a matter of fact, any cancer these days. I mean, it's really been 10 years when the first immunotherapy was approved for lung cancer. It's been, you know, I think exactly same month, 10 years. But I would also like to add that I think clinical trials are a key component of how we treat patients here. And I think I'm really excited to say that we have clinical trial for almost every stage of lung cancer patients. We have trials for early stage lung cancer. Patient is amenable for surgery, but in often cases, as we discuss in a multidisciplinary platform, you know, they may benefit from neoadjuvant. So we have trials involving neoadjuvant setting, With immunotherapy or some other novel agents, we have studies for patients who have undergone surgery but still have a residual disease. And there is a vaccine trial actually open here, which we can offer to those patients. And then we have trial for locally advanced or unresectable, and similarly for advanced stage lung cancer. And I think participating in clinical trial is a key component. And thank you to all our patients who have participated, and we are here because of their efforts.
Agreed. And surgery as well has provided a role. I'm excited about the immunotherapy agents because it has offered an opportunity to consolidate perhaps a mid to early stage lung cancer where the lymph nodes may have been involved, or the large or the mass itself was so large that the patient may have not been amenable to a surgical resection, to now having the opportunity to have a complete excision with negative margins and no lymph node activity after a course of chemotherapy and immunotherapy. So from a surgical standpoint, this offers a whole opportunity of treatment algorithms that we can offer a patient as well. We also offer an excellent service within the Lung and Chest Disease Center, where we follow all these patients from a survivorship standpoint. Once a patient has been treated, we follow them routinely as per NCI guidelines to look to see if there's any recurrence. And that extends again, as Dr. Albano had mentioned, to our support group. Another point of mention is not only do we have a great cancer center here at Stony Brook, but we also have the Phillips Family Cancer Center, in which we are now also doing robotic surgery as well as have been doing radiation treatment and have excellent oncologists out there as well in that location out by Southampton Hospital. Thank you both for your time today. And thank you to our listeners and viewers for tuning into this very important conversation today. The most important takeaway is that we can be a one-stop shop for lung cancer management, inclusive of screening, diagnosis, treatment, including clinical trials, survivorship, and support. We are here for you, our community.
Stony Brook Medicine is Long Island's premier academic medical center. We transform lives through scientific discovery, education, and care, and we bring together innovative research, advanced education, and extraordinary healthcare expertise to set the standard for how healthy communities thrive. For more information, visit stonybrookmedicine.edu or follow us on social media, Stony Brook Medicine on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and Stony Brook Med on X.